Thank you. Thank you for so much. God told me on the way in this morning that he was excited about today. And you can see why, hey? It was awesome. I had the opportunity, I don't know if some of you guys do that, but to close my eyes when you guys are worshiping God and just listen. Wow. Imagine doing that in heaven with millions and millions. You know, how exciting is that going to be? It's going to be such a privilege. I encourage you to do it, not all at once, because there'll be no singing, but take some time just to just stand in awe of God and hear the worship and hear the angels singing with God. That's cool. So I can see why God was excited about this morning, so it's cool. So we're in a series, we've just started a series on prayer, aligning with heaven, and I love that. Now I say that about probably every message I get up and talk about because I love it. It's awesome. But I have to be honest, right off the beginning, for me, at this time in my life, I need to be careful how I say this, prayer has even rivaled the scriptures in stirring my affection towards God. The way that God has answered my prayers has blown me out of the water. It has been wow. Now I love God's word. You know, I read God's word and I hear his heart and he reveals himself to me. There have been times when I'm sitting at soccer practice and watching my kids practice soccer, and I'm sitting in my car because it's cold, reading God's word, and I'm just, it's leaping out at me, and God's just giving me this great revelation. And I'm sitting there and I'm banging the seat, so excited about what I'm reading. I must look like a fruitcake. I'm hoping they're thinking, I hope he hasn't got a kid in there. You know, or he's tenderizing meat or something, but it's just the word of God is powerful. And I love it, but the way God has been answering my prayers, it's unbelievable. And so my affection towards God has grown so much because of my prayer life. And this morning I get to talk about personal prayer, which is really cool. And I'll try not to quiver all the way through my message. You know, we've had examples where we've had our van that needs new tires and stuff to be warranted of fitness, and our circumstances in our account says, well, we can't really afford that at the moment. But because God's called us to be good stewards of what he has given us and to get a warrant, we have stepped in faith and said, right, God, we'll take it in for the service. You know, my mindset and my thoughts are that, you know, hey, I've got to the 20th of next month at least. And so we've dropped it in. And by the time I've picked it up, I've had a phone call that the account's completely paid. God answers your prayers because he knows your heart. And that has happened time and time again. Happens for my children all the time, which is what excites me just as much. You know, Jaden once, another story about Jaden, he's a good prayer, Jaden. You know, he was the only one that recognized that he didn't at that time have a bike of his own. And so he came to me a bit heartbroken because all of us were riding their bikes around the outside. And he said, Dad, I don't have a bike. And so I just said to him, let's pray about it. And we said, God, you know, this is what Jaden's feeling and experience. I know that you're a God who loves him and wants the best for him. Can you help us? I get a phone call from church that afternoon. Someone had given $100 for Jaden to buy a bike. That doesn't happen, does it? This is God. How much does he love us? So the way he answers my prayers is like, wow. God, you love us that much. You love me that much. Do you love everybody that much? Yeah. He does. And he loves it when we get on our knees and we pray to God. It stirs our affection towards him in prayer. And I love that we have a God that hears us. That to me is powerful. That's one of the things that separates us from everybody else, isn't it? We have a God that hears us. The account of Elijah on Mount Carmel is about God hearing us. Here he has in 1 Kings 18. We have him on the mount with 450 prophets of Baal, and he's having a bit of a challenge with them about whose God is God. And so he gives them this bit of a challenge, and he says in 1 Kings 18, chapter 22, he said, I am one of the Lord's prophets. But Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut them into pieces and put it on the wood. But do not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood and not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. And so they agreed to that. And Elijah says to the prophet, well, you choose your bull when you start setting up your altar. And so they do that and they set up their altar, they prepare it, their sacrifice. And from morning to afternoon, they start calling out to their god Baal. And it's silent. They're dancing, they're singing, they're all calling out. And this is what I love about Elijah. In verse 27, it says, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. He starts mocking them. Come on, louder. Maybe he's asleep. Wake him up. Yeah. You know, maybe he's busy off running an errand. You're going to have to be louder than that. Maybe. And he's giving them cheek. He's absolutely mocking them. In one version I read this week, it says, oh, maybe he's in the bathroom. Cracked me up. I thought that's hilarious. That's just... And so from the afternoon to the evening sacrifice, they get louder. They start even cutting themselves, it says, to call on their God to come and light the sacrifice. And evening time comes along and still nothing. And Elijah steps up and says, now watch what happens when I pray. So Elijah, he establishes his altar. He puts his sacrifice on it. He's even cheeky enough to build a trench around it and tell them three times to pour buckets and buckets of water on it. He says, now watch when I pray to a living God who hears me. And he prays, and fire comes down and consumes this whole sacrifice. Not only does it consume the sacrifice, it consumes the wood and the stones. It consumes all the water that's up in the that's been filled in the trench. And they're in awe, and they're just amazed about what God has done. But what I love about his prayer is that he says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, so that these people know that you are Lord God and that you are turning their hearts back again. It's all for God's glory. You know, the whole account was to say, you know, this is God, a living God who hears our prayers. That has to be the difference in our lives, that we have a God who hears us, or else we're just like any other religion. We're just like any other do-gooder. We're just like any other self-help professional guy that comes and tells you, this is how you got to do it. God has to be the one that speaks through us in order to have an encounter with the living God. We need to be standing there in circumstances and saying, God, I need you. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see you. So that they get to have an encounter with Christ. So we're different from everybody else that gathers around people and tries to help. We need God to be at the center. And we need to have those times when we're praying to God. God, I need you to speak. God, I need you to be in me and flowing through me so that these people that I encounter with experience who you are. A God that hears us. I want you to think back to your Sunday school stories. What were some of your favorites? Yell them out. What were some of your favorite Sunday school stories that you heard? Daniel in the lion's den? Jericho? Marching around the walls? What else? David and Goliath. That's a classic. It's about every second week we do that one. What else have we got? Moses, yeah. Jonah, yeah. We cut the whale out. That's all good. Yeah, heaps of them, eh? What amazes me about this story is when you grow up as a kid and you're listening to them, the wow factor of God. God does some amazing stuff and we're in awe of what he's capable of doing. And I feel sometimes we've lost that because we come to a church expecting a polished performance. Or we expect to have the worship like we see on YouTube. And so we long for these wow factors in a different place, but we forget the wow factor of God in our lives, answering even the littlest of prayers. Because when God reveals himself to me through my prayer life, I'm, wow, God is amazing. We forget that what we see on YouTube and stuff, you know, those music videos have probably been rehearsed 15, 20 times to get the final imagery and the cut. The speakers, as good as they are, and there's nothing against them, but they've probably done that message 5 or 10 times. And so they've got it fine-tuned, but we expect that. And if we don't get that, we don't get a wow factor. But our wow factor is just in knowing God. And in our prayer life. That should be our wow factor. That we get the honor and the privilege of knowing the creator of the universe who hears us and loves us. That's our wow factor. You know, we just listened to about Elijah calling down from heaven. What confidence in his prayer that he could call down fire from heaven. Could I have confidence in prayer like that? Could you have confidence in your prayer life like that? Yeah, you can. We have a God who listens to us in 1 John 5-13. If we open up there, right near the end, it says here, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. There is a confidence that we can have before God. This title of aligning ourselves with heaven is key. If you read there, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, we need to align ourselves with his will, and when we are stepping into his will and his plans for us, God's prayers and the way he answers our prayers, is just amazing. But if we're trying to do things in our own strength and our own way, and we're all of a sudden saying, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? It wasn't actually my will or part of my plan. But if we step into alignment, you watch what God does. When we start realizing the truth and his will for our lives, you watch what God does in your life through your prayer life. Yeah. It is amazing. And I know that God doesn't answer all our prayers. Thankfully, he doesn't. If you've looked back on some of your prayer life, you're probably thinking, oh, I'm glad you didn't answer that one. I've got a hot wife. The one I probably prayed for or wanted years ago was like not God's plan. But man, the beautiful woman that God has given me, I'm so grateful. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers at the time because God's God and he knows better. Sometimes we have doubt and that takes us for a bit of a knock. You know, James 1:8 talks about a double-mindedness. And I've had that for a long time because I've always thought, okay, God, I'm going to pray for this and we'll step in faith, but I have a plan B. You know, if you don't sort of come through here, I can always just, you know, maneuver a couple of things or just sort out a couple of things and all of a sudden I'll take care of that. But what I've came to realize in doing that is that's where my faith was in plan B. My faith was in my double-mindedness, not in what God's providing. God wants to work with full and whole faith. Sometimes in James 4:3, it talks about wrong motives. We ask because we want selfish desires or we want to have things our own way. We don't want to do it for God's glory, so we ask for the wrong motives that we can spend on our own pleasures what we ask for. Maybe it's a 1 Peter 3 thing for us men, that we're not honoring our wives as co-heirs in this grace of life, and therefore God says that our prayer life might be hindered. When God hasn't answered my prayers, I've had to think, okay, I need to look into that a bit more for myself. But I still trust God that he's going to do what God does the best. But have I done something wrong? Am I not living in unity with my wife so my prayers are being hindered? Is it God's got a different plan? God's got something bigger and better, and I need to have faith and trust that he's got a path that's far greater than what I can. So I surrender still, even though I'm not sure why that one didn't come through, but still have faith in God, that God knows best. If I was to ask you, what's the one thing that you've been praying for lately? What would that be? If I was to get a transcript of your prayer life for the last month, what would that look like? Day by day. That's a scary thought. It was for me when God asked me. Oh, how many pages would be blank? How many pages would be just grace? How many pages would be a list of wants? You know, God wants us to pray and continuous conversation with him all day, every day. That's his heartbeat. You know, we need to be praising him and worshiping him. Are you praying for healing, financial provision, a new job, a new car? You know, Shani and I are praying desperately for a house. We've only got 13 sleeps till we have to be out of our home and we have nowhere to go. What's the space? Absolutely. My God is the God who said he's going to provide. He told me back in April that we were shifting. Came back from my hunting trip when I shared that last time. He said to me, new season, which means a new home. I shared that with Shani, and we've lived in our house for probably 8 years next week. And we've loved it. It's been such a blessing. And so it's going to be a hard home to walk away from. But God said, new season. He said, be specific in your prayers and what you would like, because I am a God who wants to answer you. So we've written our list of the things that we need. We've written a list of the things that we want. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, God. You know, why not? God gives us the desires of our hearts. We have not because we ask not. I'm not asking for us to have the biggest, bestest house in town. But God knows what we need before we even ask. I'm just asking. And so, probably mid-June, God said to us, or said to me, come on, start packing up. Where's your faith? Instead of being in limbo. So Shani and I started sorting. Jaden got on this clean freak and started cleaning everything in the house, started sorting, started packing. Beginning of July. And I said to Shani, this is getting frustrating. I feel like I'm in limbo. I don't know what's happening. You know, God said we're shifting. What's that going to look like? What's that going to be? God, I need an answer. Help me. I want to know, because I'm just living in limbo. 2 days later, our landlord says, well, I'm kicking you out. He'd sold his property, something that he'd been trying to do for 7 years. And he sold it, and he came sheepishly because he knew he was evicting his family out of his home. And if I hadn't known what God had said to me previously, I would have panicked. But because I had the peace of God over me, knowing that he had spoke to me, I was able to celebrate with him that he finally sold his house after 7 years. I was able to celebrate and share with him that, don't worry about it, God told me back in April we were shifting. He's a little bit confused. But we shook hands, and the smile on his face was completely what he was not expecting. But God had already sowed the seed. God had already heard me. And God answered my prayers within 2 days. I need to know what's happening. Okay, here we go. You've got 2 months. Now we've got 13 days. Are we worried? Not at all. I have got God's peace. God has told me way back in April that this is going to happen. Do you think that God's ever late? His timing is perfect. Amen. It might be last minute. We are stepping on a big faith journey. And we have got members of the family who don't understand that and are constantly ringing us. Here's a house. Look at this house. It's only 2 bedrooms. All 9 of you will fit.
you know. And a lot of people have come to us with good intentions, with good stuff. But is it God's best? We have to stand on faith that we are waiting for God's best. And that might mean we have one sleep to go. I have not asked for that. I asked for 2 weeks' notice. God, please, because there's lots to do when you're shifting a house. 2 weeks was yesterday. Haven't heard. Am I worried? Nah. My God, through my prayer life, has revealed so much of himself to me that I can trust in him. That his word is without fail. It is my faith that's at the test, and I'm not going to fail it, because my God is a God who loves us and loves to hear our prayers, loves to hear our hearts, loves to commune, loves to connect with us. So watch this space. We don't have long, but we have. Shani shared a post on Facebook. I think it was over 150 people shared it all throughout New Zealand. People are watching, and I'm excited what God's going to do and how he's going to reveal himself, because he's going to get the glory. And some people are going to go, wow. Yeah. God is going to get the glory. Yes, we might have a nice house with everything that we're in it, but God is going to speak to so many people. And we are praying. We are fasting. And that's not easy. I love food. And I come home hangry. But the whole fact is, when you're aching, you are praying and seeking God. I've had some of the best weeks of my prayer life, because I know God's got something for us, and I am on my knees in prayer and thankfulness, because I have the confidence that he is going to honor what he said. So I don't have to doubt it. I just have to receive it. I just have to continue to walk in faith that he's going to provide. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hey, we stand down here and we look and go, oh God, your timing's perfect. It's awesome. Man, you're amazing. When you're a week out from hindsight, it's a different story. But why not have that confidence, knowing that God has got your best for you way back here, so that when we're praying to God, we are receiving what we have already asked for in faith. Knowing his will for us is always perfect, good, pleasing will, that he has the best for us, instead of waiting for hindsight to give him glory. Give him glory every day. John 15:5 talks about us remaining in him, abiding in him. So I think if we have a look at John 15, verse 5, I think this is quite pivotal. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I will in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. For a long time, I chased the fruit, the things of God, instead of chasing the person of God. God wants us to abide in him. The fruit is a promise of God that we will experience, found in him. We don't have to chase after it. God wants us to chase him. The fruit will come. I think it's over the page, he says, might not be over your page, but it's over my page, that if we stay in there, then he will protect us, and he will watch over us, and he will provide for us. If we abide in Christ, constantly in God, he's protected us. Who dares going to come against us when we are in God's presence? We've got to stand strong and confident in God's protection, his provision, his love, because we are pursuing him. Not pursuing the fruit, not pursuing the acts, but pursuing the person of God. And that's been a challenge for me, not to do the work of God for the sake of doing it because it's good stuff,
But serving and worshiping and seeking God first and out of a heart of relationship and love with God, that stuff flows so much easier. And it's flowing from the right place. So what is the one thing that you're asking for? What is the one thing that you have been pressing into God for? Psalm 27, verse 2. I want to have a look at that one too. This is David writing one of the Psalms. When vandal horses ride down, ready to eat me alive, though those bullies... Oh, I'm reading the wrong version. Sorry. That was the message. When evil men... I like verse 2 in the NIV better. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. That word confidence come up a fair bit this morning. See, here's David surrounded by enemy, people wanting to attack him, people wanting to kill him and destroy him and bring him down. Verse 4, the one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in this temple. No matter what's going on around him, his heart, his one thing is to see God, to seek God, to live and dwell in his house forever. Knowing that if he's abiding in God, he's under his protection and his grace and his love and his mercy, so he seeks him. Personal prayer is about seeking God, about having a relationship with him. I've grown so much and gotten to know so much of who God is as he revealed himself through my prayer life. I learned a lot about God, but I got to know God through my prayer life. When something good happens to you, when something bad happens to you, Gerard, who do you want to tell? Who's the first person you want to tell? My old few. He wasn't prepped for this. Your wife, why? Half it? What else? If you want to share, why would you go to her first? Comfort? Love? Yeah. We tend to go to our husbands and wives when we have good news and bad news, and because we want to share that, because we want to partner with them. We're in a love relationship with them. Turn to James 5:13. I want us to all have a look at this, because this is what blew me away this week, or these last couple of weeks actually. James 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone unhappy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. That was cool. Thank you, Teresa, because that was just confirmation of where I was heading. God was going, yeah, we're good. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Communicate with the one you love. God's saying, tell me about it. I love you. Let me know. Pray to me if you're in trouble. Open up. Communicate with me. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Tell me about it. God wants to know. He wants us to commune, to go to him and say, God, you're amazing. What you've just done for me. You're amazing. I love you. I love you. I love you. He's the one who wants us to go to first and give him the praise and the glory. That's how much our God loves us. Is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Yeah.
Teresa experienced that this week.
You know, there are leaders in our church and people in our church that we need to call upon in our times of need. When you're sick and you can't move, it's that step in faith. It says, God, and it's that prayer and faith that will heal you. How's your prayer life? Is it powerful? Are you communicating with God regularly? Are you daily conversing with Him? My favorite verse in that part is verse 17. Elijah was a man just like us. We have heroes in the Bible that we love. Look what Elijah accomplished through his prayer life. And he was a man just like us. You can have a prayer life and an exciting life in God just like Elijah. He was a man just like us. His nature was just like us. But his prayer life is what set him apart. It was powerful. So I have a few questions for you this morning I want to finish with. Well, God has some questions this morning. How is your prayer life? Are we in constant dialogue with God? Is our prayer life structured? Is it religious? We don't have to have a prayer life with the perfect words. God just wants us to talk to Him and invite Him in every situation, all day, every day. I find myself just talking to God all the time and laughing. I think God's got a hard case sense of humor. I'm always laughing at myself, so I imagine He's just going, oh my goodness. But how is your prayer life? Is it constant? Is it just communicating, just talking to your God? Because that's all He's wanting. He's not interested in big flashy words. He's wanting you to seek Him, to abide in Him. The one thing to seek, that you may dwell in His house and in His presence. What's the one thing that you're asking God for at the moment? Is it just to dwell in His presence? Is that the key to your prayer life? Just to dwell and get to know God. Knowing that when you get to know God and you dwell in His presence, nothing's going to come against you. God's protecting you. God loves you. He just wants you. Question my wife always asks me that gets me into trouble. What's God been saying to you? Good question to ask each other, because if we're not communicating with God on a regular basis, what's God going to say to you? Nothing. And there have been a number of times where my wife's caught me out. What's God been saying to you? Oh, nothing. Why? Because I haven't had my time in prayer and continually seeking Him to get to know Him. But there are times when Shani has asked me, what's God been saying to you? And man, we have some amazing conversations about what God's doing and saying to us. But it's come from a place of personal intimacy where I'm just taking the time to seek God and His presence. Thanking Him for what He's done. Not always going to Him with a list of things that I need, because God knows what I need. Sometimes I just have the faith that God will provide, but just to get to know my God. Not know about Him, but know Him. And my prayer life does that. So do you know about God, or do you know God? Have you taken it from a knowledge of the scriptures to a knowledge of God in your life and in your heart. Do you know of God or do you know God? God wants to reveal himself to you. Let's pray. God, you're a wonderful and a mighty God. God, I'm in awe and amazed that the creator of the universe wants to hear my prayer. That you want to commune with us. That you want to indwell in us. That you want us to abide in you. Because you just want us to love, have a love relationship with you. God, I pray that you will take our knowledge of you and turn that to knowing you. God, as we spend time in prayer, that you will reveal yourself to us, Father God, that you will, as we draw unto you, you will speak to us. You will reveal your heart for us, Father God. God, help us to get to know you. The very heart of prayer is to know you. God, as we align our lives with what you have for us, your will for our lives, Father God, I know that you're going to do amazing things because your word says that. Help us to align ourselves with your will, Father God, as we seek you in our prayer for what you have for us, what you have us choose to do or to be, Father God. Help us to be your light, that you speak through us to other people. Help us to be the difference, God, because you're working through us. Help us to have an encounter with you that goes, wow, God, you love me that much. God, we honor you this morning. May our prayers be one of adoration and praise. We thank you so much that you hear our prayers, that you are faithful. Help us to get to know you. Help us to seek you first, to go to you first, to lift up our times of trouble, our songs and our praises to you, Father God, to commune with you in a relationship that is continuously conversing just with you in our day-to-day lives. God, we thank you that you're a prayer-answering God. We give you glory in your precious name. Amen. Amen.